As you have given and received peace, would you also receive the Scripture as the Word of God spoken into our lives?
Our Scripture reading today comes from 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, there are so many things in our lives that make us anxious, and for good reason. Help us to give those worries to you. You tell us in your word that you care for us. Help us to feel that intrinsically. When we are experiencing anxiety and fear, help us to feel your care in a profound way. In the midst of the world's chaos, bring your calm to our hearts and minds. Lord, we ask for your help in remaining alert and maintaining our self-control. Give us the power to stand firm in our faith and resist the lies and temptations of the devil. Help us to stand fast in your grace and in your peace. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So I remember that I taught you a few months ago one bit of sign language, and I remembered it this week, and it's interesting how sometimes when you remember something, it's more profound than when you learned it for the first time. And so if you would you take your fingers and just put your fingers right here on your shoulders, top of your shoulders, and just like you're flicking something off your shoulders, do this. This is sign language for not my problem. I love this. I love this. So we have been spending several weeks talking about stress, and stress is the wear and tear of daily life, and I cannot emphasize enough that the solution for stress is not in a seven-step program. The remedy for stress is relational. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened. The wear and tear of daily life is your experience. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. So the remedy of stress is relational. We've covered a lot of ground in the Scripture, but there's a lot of ground that we have yet to cover. In fact, I would contend that the Bible is filled with episodes of how people dealt with stress. There's Mary and Martha. Jesus and his disciples show up at the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha is stressed out because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus acting like a disciple. She doesn't like that. But also she's stressed out by her to-do list. Then we look at Saul. In fact, in my first draft of this teaching series, I wanted to include this scene. The last event of Saul's life, he had made poor decision after poor decision. Now he was consulting the dead by a witch at Endor. Terrible, high-stress event. Saul did not end his life well. There's Elijah. Elijah takes on 800 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, but that doesn't stress him out. It's one woman, Jezebel, who causes a lot of stress in his life. So just from these three snippets, don't you see the way that stress still plays out in our lives? That we're stressed by what other people do or don't do. And we're stressed out by our to-do list and all we think we need to accomplish. We're stressed out by our bad decisions, but we just can't stop ourselves from making more bad decisions. And stress often means that we lose perspective. Little things become bigger than what they need to be. There's a whole lot to deal with concerning stress in the Scripture. But where I want to land today and conclude this teaching series are the words you just heard from 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus. He made a lot of mistakes in his 3 years' time with Jesus. But now he had mellowed into an old, faithful man. But he had not lost his edge. He still spoke very plainly to the people he loved about how they should live. I want you to catch a couple of these commands. He said, you need to humble yourself. Now, no-brainer, the opposite of humility is pride. What is pride? Pride says, I can handle my life on my own, thank you very much. You feel that until you realize you can't. So in humility, when life becomes more than what we can handle, we learn to turn it over to the Lord. When life becomes too stressful, we give it to Him. But pride is also saying not only I can handle my own life, but it's also saying I am the center of the universe. That's pride. And in fact, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the universe does not revolve around you. You are not the center of the universe. And it's striking how much we see that in culture and even how much we see that in the church. This is meant to lighten it up a little bit. But this is a short video by John Chris. He's a comedian. He's driving up to church on Sunday morning, and I prayed like crazy that some of you said these same things this morning when you arrived at First Baptist Tulsa.
Jesus, I am late for church. I'm just going to speak this parking spot into existence right now. Just name it and claim it, Jesus.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, use the crosswalk.
I have the fruit of the Spirit, but y'all need to move. Ooh, she is going to wear that into bounce your eyes. Bounce your eyes. Jesus, give me a miracle. I need a ram in the thicket. You love this church? It's just like come as you are. You know what I'm saying? How do I look, though? Does the jacket go with the shirt? Oh, good Lord. Guests, single parents, expected mother. Who doesn't have a parking spot these days? I have been here 27 years. I deserve respect. Oh, yeah, go ahead, take my parking spot. She probably needs Jesus more than me, honestly. Use your mirror. How long does it take to back out of a... Jesus, give me strength. This is so... Honestly, there better be coffee. There better be coffee. Y'all are going to make me park in a handicap spot.
Oh, look, there go the homeschoolers.
I swear if somebody took the last jelly donut, I will. Don't make me get out of the... Oh,
hey, are you on the ministry team?
Not today, okay? Oh, you're going to drive a Lexus? Okay, I know where your treasure's at. Not in heaven. The sermon series is what? Putting others in front of yourself. Oh, this doesn't apply to me. I mean, for heaven's sakes, move out of the room.
Look at this truck. Where are you going? A church or a Trump rally?
Finally found a parking spot 15 minutes late. Oh, it is way too cold out here, but you better bring a shuttle or I will watch this service online.
I want to send you that video every Sunday before you drive to church. And do you see what pride is? Pride is saying the world revolves around me, right? And you know what another good synonym for pride would be? Pettiness. Pettiness. Peter says, here's what you need to do. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Then he goes on and he also says, be alert and of sober mind. Now, there's the tendency to separate these two commands, but really they work in tandem. They work in tension with one another. Okay? So let's take these in reverse order. Another phrase for sober mind is be self-controlled. Let me tell you this. You don't have to be worried about every problem that you face in life. I want you to hear that. There's no law that says that you have to be worried or obsessed or upset about every problem that comes along in life. Now, this doesn't mean that you deny reality. You know there's a problem. It's out there. You acknowledge it, but you also make it a point to not worry about it. You can practice self-control. I bet you didn't know that there was a United States tournament for rock, paper, scissors. Every year in Las Vegas, they crown a rock, paper, scissors champion. In 2007, the winner was a man by the name of Jamie Landridge. Here's how he won. He said, I won by not overthinking it. Most people lose because they overthink about what they're going to throw or what their opponent's going to throw or what their opponent thinks that they're going to throw. He said, I just went by instinct and I won. And then after I won, I started overthinking it. And I never won again. By the way, the winning purse for the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship, $50,000. How about that? Let's go. Let's start right now. Let's do this thing. Is that not a secret of life? Don't overthink it. And many of us should belong to a support group called Overthinkers Anonymous, right? We can be self-controlled. We can acknowledge we have a problem. We know it's a reality, but we also don't overthink it. We are self-controlled, but we're also alert. That means that even though we're commanded not to be anxious, we are also not asleep. Ultimately, we say, God, I want your concerns to be my concerns, your priorities to become my priorities. That's what I'll think about. Humble yourselves. Be alert. Be sober. Here's another command that Peter gives in this passage. Resist Satan. And I don't know how else to tell you, but just to tell you. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. He hates you. Now, I know it's not fashionable, it's not popular to believe in Satan anymore, but don't you think if you were Satan, that would be the last trick up your sleeve to convince people that you don't exist at all? And Scripture affirms his existence, and not only that, he is roaring as a lion. Listen to this. You don't even have to let Satan stress you out. Why? Because it's not your job to beat up Satan. It's your job to not back down. Resist Satan. I want to say that again. It's not your job to beat up Satan. It's your job simply not to back down. We have done self-defense training as a staff together. Took our whole staff over to John 3:16. Steve Whitaker did a great job walking us through self-defense training. The first thing he taught us to do before throwing a punch or how to defend yourself is how to say no. When you're attacked, when somebody's coming at you, to look them in the eye and say no. It sends a message that you are not to be trifled with. It sends a message that you are not an easy target. And if somebody is just a bully, they will go off and find an easier target. But it won't be you. Listen, Satan's a bully. And when he starts approaching you or attacking you, you tell him. If he comes after your family or your kids or you, the most powerful thing you can tell him is no. By the way, the most powerful thing you can say to God, I believe the most powerful prayer is two words. Yes, Lord. And pray that even before you know what he's going to ask. That's when it's really powerful. You don't know what he's going to ask yet, but even before he asks, the answer is yes. So do you see how Peter is just shooting straight with people? He said, you need to humble yourself. You need to be alert. You need to be self-controlled. You need to resist Satan. But all of these commands revolve around one line, and it's where we're ending our discussion on stress today. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. By the way, this is a pretty easy verse to memorize. You can memorize it by the time I finish talking this morning. And you not only have it here, but you have it here. And it can become a lifestyle where you are, look at me, you cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When those problems come along, you say, these are not my problems. I give them over to God. You remember Charles Darwin, the famous naturalist. He was out hunting for beetles one day. I don't know why, hunting for beetles. Pulls back the bark of a tree, sees two rather interesting beetles, put one in his left hand, one in his right hand. He's holding them. And then out crawls a crucifix beetle, which is a very rare, juicy beetle, I guess. I don't know where the word juicy came from, but it's probably juicy. So it crawled out. He had his hands already full. He didn't know what to do, so he took one of the beetles, popped it in his mouth, and then went for the crucifix beetle. The beetle he popped in his mouth squirted some acid. He spit it out in the pandemonium. He lost all of them. Why? Because that's weird. It's weird, all right? I mean, if you're collecting gummy bears, pop them in your mouth, but not beetles, right? So he got burned, and things got out of control because he was trying to carry more than what he should have been carrying. Some of you are carrying more than what you should be. You're going to get burned, things are going to get chaotic, and you're going to lose more than just a couple of beetles. You're going to lose your mind. Cast all your anxiety on him. In fact, this Greek word for cast means to throw one piece at a time, one part at a time. The only other time this word shows up in the Bible is in Luke chapter 19 when Jesus is walking into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. They bring a donkey and they cast their cloaks over the donkey so Jesus can sit down. So here's an interesting way to pray. One morning, get alone with you and God. All the things, in fact, Monday morning is a pretty good day to pray this kind of prayer and start casting one at a time all your cares on him. God, my finances, I'm going to be responsible, but it's ultimately not my problem. I cast this on you. My family, I've got this one family member I don't know what to do with. I don't know how to deal with them, but I can't control them. I cast it on you. Father, my job, my boss, the issue I face, whatever, I cast it on you. One at a time, lay them down. Get this, throughout the day, you'll pick them back up again. So again, You cast them down one at a time. And you live as Jesus Christ intended you to live. Free. Cast all your anxiety. Notice that word, all your anxiety. And the way I apply that is to say, all of your anxiety, real and imagined. Don't be ashamed. We all have those secret fears that nobody else knows about. And if we say them out loud, we're going to sound ridiculous. But you will never sound ridiculous to the Lord. Cast all your anxiety on Him. The study that made the news several years ago, and in fact, you've heard the statistic that 97% of the things you fear never happen. So that's a Cornell University study. And this would be an interesting thing for you to do. They had participants write down, log for 2 weeks, all the things that they were afraid of. 85% of them never happened. Of the 15% that did happen, respondents said that 79% of those they handled better than what they thought they would. So you do the math, 97% of things that we worry about never really happen or not that bad. But take 100% of your fears, real and imagined. Cast them on the Lord and live free. He already knows you feel it anyway. Share that weight with Him because He cares for you. My first job as a teenager, 15 years old, I went to work at Burger King. Be careful the way you treat the guy behind the fast food counter because he may be your pastor one day, right? So I started Burger King. Now, in 2009, Burger King came out with a little gimmick on their Burger King app. If you unfriended 10 people on Facebook, you got a free Whopper. That's why I unfriended all of you people within about... No, I didn't really. But if you did it through the app, if you unfriended 10 people, you got the free Whopper. But then what Burger King did is they sent a notification to all the people you unfriended and why. And they said, you are worth 1/10 of our hamburger. Yeah. That's not a very good friend, is it? They would unfriend you. Listen, Jesus is someone that will never unfriend you no matter what. No matter what. Here's what a good friendship is. A friendship is a combination of comfort and challenge. A good friend will comfort you when you need that. Okay? But there's not comfort all the time. That'd get a little creepy. There's also some challenge that goes along with that. That our friends push us to become better and who we are called to be. You have a friend that will never leave you. And we can go to him every single day. And we can cast all of our anxieties on him because he cares for you. And in that, there is peace. So Dan Buehler, a few years ago, wrote a book called The Blue Zones. And he labels this the Blue Zones. These are places on the planet where people live extraordinarily long lives. And one of the places that he studied, I won't give you the name of it, but it's a little island off the main coast of Greece. This little island, people live an incredibly long time, and he follows one particular man who grew up on that island, fought in the Second World War, was injured, came to the United States for treatment, and decided to stay. He met an American woman, fell in love, they married, he worked in the U.S., and at age 60, he was diagnosed with lung cancer and was told to put his house in order. Instead, he went back home to this little bitty Greek island where his mother, in her 90s, was taking care of him. After a few days, he got strong enough to go visit some friends and drink a glass of wine. A few days later, he was strong enough to go to church, and he reconnected with his Greek Orthodox faith. A little bit later, he was strong enough to plant a garden, and he planted a garden even though he knew he probably wouldn't be around for the harvest. And 30 years after he moved back to that island, his friends brought him flowers, not at his graveside, but at his 90th birthday party. And what Dan Buehler talks about in this book is the power of social connection. That to have a community around us is a powerful, healing thing. In fact, to not have friends, to not have social connections is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, or being an alcoholic, or being obese, or not exercising. That kind of negative physical effect. Listen to me. If that's the power of human relationships, Can you even imagine the power and the potential of a divine relationship? That for you to have a relationship with God, and you to be forgiven by Jesus Christ, and for you to experience the freedom of the Holy Spirit, brings wholeness and healing and peace. I want to ask you the same thing I said this morning as Rick was being baptized. Some of you know about Jesus up here, but you've never really let him into your heart. You've never really said, Jesus is Lord. My encouragement to you today is not only that you would cast your anxieties, but cast your whole life onto him, because he cares and he loves you. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you to focus in with me for a moment. It's not often that I tell you how to pray, but I'm going to guide you through a time of prayer this morning. And if you would, just still yourself as quickly as possible. And then to pray this simple sentence, just in the silence of your heart. God, free me from the care of myself. I want you to think about how much time and energy we spend thinking about ourselves. If we were to turn that same energy to others and to the Lord, what kind of lives would we live? Lord, free me from the care of myself. Now, no one's looking around. Even I have my eyes closed. As an act of physical prayer, maybe you would take that one thing that you're most concerned about today. Maybe it's that grandbaby. It could be your finances. It could be your marriage. It could be something at home or at work. And just give that sign language to God. Not my problem. Just put your fingers on your shoulders and cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Jesus, thank you that you are a friend, eternal in your love, never ending in your affection, and that we every day for the rest of our lives can cast our cares on you, because you love us, and because of you we can experience freedom. We all live in a world of stress. We are in a pressure cooker of stress, but you have called us to live differently, and you've given us the ability to have a relationship with you that is our ultimate remedy for stress. So I pray over all of us, freedom, courage, peace. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, who cares for each one of us. Amen.